bride comes a fall. Did anyone hear you call as you drove your Volvo into a canal? Oh, this is it. I love you, but I know where else to go. I'm a depressio. I'm a depressio.
Podcasting, oh, it's this hat again. It's back for episode 3.
Hola, chico.
Hola, chico.
It's back for episode 3.
Yeah, how are you, mate?
Oh, mate, I've been doing good, mate.
Have you moved to Hull?
No.
East Hull?
Just like the accent.
Hello, mate. You're right, mate.
I only know that accent because of the people you lived with when you was at university.
By people, you mean one person.
What's his name again?
Luke.
That's his name.
Shout out to Luke.
Shout out to Luke.
Man about town.
The last time I met that man was at your wedding. I was like, I remember you, mate. And I couldn't help but just go into that kind of... But it's like,
yeah,
we haven't seen
it's
each
infectious.
Other.
It's infectious.
We haven't seen each other for so long that I thought he might think, oh, what are you doing, mate?
Like, well, are you taking the piss?
Now.
Yeah, yeah. No,
that's me. That's my thing. That's my thing.
He started a new job where he works up telegraph poles and that now. I think he's doing
that's
some form of engineering.
Well.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. I bet he's...
They're raking it in.
I bet he's fucking banking, mate.
Is he a depressed CEO?
I think he's had bouts of depression, mate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's his story to tell.
Get him on.
Yeah, definitely get him
guests?
On. Oh, well, I think so. Well, when we can afford another microphone. When we've got a mixer that can handle 3 microphones. What the fuck is... I look like a muppet.
Dude, I was about to say this. Like, I was thinking of this on the way here, and I'm just like, you know, I've been working all day, slaving away.
Yeah.
You know, PC, doing videos.
Yeah.
I did one good video today, actually, which I enjoyed, but the others were just like, you know, whatever.
What did you do today?
It was a crypto video that I enjoyed. It was like taking...
Logan Paul?
No, like, I can't believe crypto's still going, to be honest. It's insane.
Is it tanking at the minute, crypto?
I'm like at the spearhead a little bit, a tiny bit, not like the spearhead, but on Fiverr, that's how I began my like journey, was literally crypto videos.
Well,
and
it was,
now,
then
it dipped completely, like I got none. And then all of a sudden now I'm starting to get more again. I'm like, huh?
Ooh.
And I asked these people because I'm genuinely intrigued. I'm like, what's going on with it? Like, I thought this was over. I thought like buying JPEGs was over. No, I don't say that because
it's
a bit rude to them. But
sorry, so I get confused because crypto is the money, right? But
NFTs are like...
NFTs. Sorry, that's the thing. That's the thing.
The thing is, this one was tied... This particular video was tied in with a watch, and it wanted to be a bit of a meme video. I don't understand it, mate. There's a whole... Basically, it's a culture.
Yeah. Oh, no, 100%.
It's a culture of people that just like buying these things.
Yeah.
And this one, in particular, was tied in with a watch that they're selling. So if you bought the watch with, like, crypto, you get, like, an NFT with it, I think.
Oh, okay, cool.
And there was,
this...
There was this podcast that NFT podcasters do when they do, it's like this, right? But they have like 5 guests on and they're looking at the scope of like what's to buy. It's like buying stocks and shares, like what's the latest NFT to buy? And it was like an hour show and it's like, right, we've got this segment. Why don't you take like the piss out of it a tiny bit? And I was like,
what did you do?
There's this one guy doubting it. It's like, right, guys, so what about this NFT? Is it a pump and dump? Do you know what pump and dump means?
You raise the price, inflate the price of everything, and then,
And then one guy was just like, nope, that's a rug pull. Like, a rug pull is another one where they just take loads of money and then see ya, which happens to a lot of NFTs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's what this whole podcast was about. And they took aim at this particular NFT that sold watches, and the guy who's behind it got me to do like a meme video taking the piss out of it. And I was like, I understand the product, don't worry about it. So he said, make it like this. And this one, and I was like thinking, what kind of hype music track would I use?
Mm.
And it was all like catchy words coming up. No, it wasn't me. He wanted to be like kind of like cool looking, like, yeah, just a watch. Like, and then he had his watch coming up, like flashing up, like, hey, listen, It was a fun video to edit. And I chose a black skinhead.
Oh, like, yeah.
And I zoomed in on the face. I was, what, like a watch you wear? Just a watch? And then I zoomed in on his face, like typed out, just a watch. And zoomed in on his face, zoomed in on the watch. And
with the drums zooming in. Yeah, yeah. Oh, nice.
It's weirdly how my life has come full circle, because back in the day, do you remember, literally...
Yes.
That's the shit I was making back at school.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like when PCs and computers were coming around for the first time right?
We were basically...
You got involved in them. We called them mixes, didn't we?
We did. We used to be meme girls.
Yeah.
What day is it? October 3rd.
I remember one particular video you did, but I will never talk about that video. We'll save that if it was ever discussed.
Is the backing track to that Foo Fighters?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, cool.
And I'm not going to go into it, obviously, but me and my friends still talk about the video to this day and laugh our asses off. It's so dark.
Simple. It was simple.
It was simple. Simple. It was great.
Simple, dark, and very comedy plus time. No, wait, no. Tragedy plus time. Equals comedy. Tragedy plus not very much time equals ooh.
Exactly.
Is all I'll say about that video. We can talk about it on the Patreon. That's all good. I'm stretching, mate. I'm feeling like this is the angle for me today. I've got my boner cushion. I've got my stretch on.
I'm opting out for the boner cushion.
Okay, cool. Just so everyone knows, I haven't got a boner, but...
You could even check the YouTube if you really want to see where we have the video version of the podcast.
Yeah,
available.
Come and
just
watch.
Slip that in there. Slip it in. But yeah, I was just doing that. We were doing that back in the day.
It's weird
now it's my job.
I would have been tempted if he'd sent it over to me. Oh, yeah, just take the piss out of this guy. Did you not just want to kind of like film yourself and be like, you're a fucking virgin?
I've given you a very blank context there. It wasn't like it was more like, no, we are a serious NFT project. It's not just a rug pull. But I focused on this one dude that was very... They went through the crowd, right? There was three people, and one person said, yeah, that's a pump and dump, that's a pump and dump. And one guy went in on the watch a bit too much, went, what, like a watch you wear? That? No. And I just was like, you've taken the... The other gave their opinion without any, and I was like, I'm going to focus on you. And he loved it. He was just like, oh, yeah. And I put his face like halfway through the video again, like all full screen. I'll show you the video
The term pump and dump, and also the context of what we are talking about. This is absolute insanity. This is what people are spending their money on in 2024.
It's bizarre. As a culture, it's bizarre.
It's not even...
To say the very least.
Like, you know, people are like, oh, you millennials wasting all your money on avocados, going to cafes and fucking spending money on coffee. What? You can't even say that to Gen Z's. It's like, you fucking imbeciles, you're buying artwork on the internet.
So yeah,
burn your money.
The blockchain and cryptocurrency,
right?
Yeah, I'm down. I think it's cool. No one owns it. Like, it lives on the blockchain. It's like a kind of, you can track where it goes, which is good and bad. Like, I think physical money will eventually go out the window.
Living on the blockchain. Physical money's already kind of going out the window.
Living on the blockchain.
Living on the blockchain.
Chain gang. But the idea of buying a JPEG. I mean, right, I know all the arguments for it because I literally had to be in this world for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I've never bought one. I've received a few. On the promise, you know.
I've been offered
so many times during the NFT days. I got offered so many, like, do you mind if we not pay you and just pay you in NFTs? I'm like, no,
pay me money, physical cash money, you fucks,
physical cash wonga. But I've been given them as gifts, and they're very nice. Whatever it is, what it is, don't like. And none of them made me any kind of money. There's only ever been a few NFT projects that have actually made money, like actual big cash money. Wonga.
I bought some Ethereum.
I still got
a few years ago, and I remember doing that, and then going to Glastonbury and checking my thing. I used to check it all the time, and it'd be like, oh, your Ethereum's gone up by like hundreds of pounds. I went, oh, cool, just draw that out and enjoy myself then. And it cost me nothing to. I made like a couple of hundred quid. I was like, oh, it's fucking great.
Me and
could have kept it all.
Me
in.
And my fiance, what do I call it? Leanne, literally bought like £300 worth between us, 150 each, yeah, yeah. Which is now worth about a grand and a bit.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just literally not touching it.
Yeah, just leave it there. Yeah, yeah.
I don't.
Let
I couldn't
fester.
Give. I couldn't give a shit. Like, if it pops off, then it pops off.
This is the fucking world we live in, mate. No wonder people are fucking depressed and anxious. It's a race to the bottom, isn't it, this? It's a race. It's a fucking race to the bottom. Do you know what? I did a thing the other day that I realised this is what poor people do.
Hit me with it.
I've avoided fixing an issue on my car for so long because I'm like,
oh, this is why we couldn't do the podcast last week.
This is why we couldn't do the podcast last week. I had to take my car into the garage, but I was like, I've been avoiding this issue for such a long time because I'm like, I need to have like a bank of money just aside just in case this issue happens. So I've been putting up with this inconvenience of like my car. Sometimes I start my car and like literally every warning light is on. And I'm like, oh, this is just no good. But then after like 20 minutes of running the car, the warning lights go away and it drives and it's fine. So I took it into the garage and they were like, oh, yeah, you know, like all these warning lights are on. Yeah, cool. We'll have a look at that. It'll cost you £145.
Just to look.
Just to look. Yep. And I went, oh, okay, cool. Right, but I mean, I want it sorting. So yeah, cool. There's that.
Cool.
But they also had,
had
recalled it because they'd fucked up with some part or something. So they had to replace this part. So I'm like going in there going, I'm 150 quid down at least.
Already. And on an expense you don't want. You just don't want it.
Yeah, I just
and
didn't.
Look, for the listeners, he's closing his eyes.
I didn't want
he's
it.
He's dreaming of a better time.
I am.
When
I have that
to.
Money.
And yet, like 150 shoot. Is it 50? 150?
150. Yeah, 145. 150. We'll say 150 shootinis.
150 shootinis. Absolutely.
Shootinis.
That's literally softy. Shootinis down the drain.
Yeah, exactly. So
could have been spent on cocaine.
Oh, could have spent on anything. I could have bought another fucking podcast microphone and we could have had a guest in this week
and then
it wouldn't have been shit. No.
Not drugs. I understand.
Yeah, podcast microphone. Nose microphone. But yeah, so I took it in, I got this issue fixed, and then I went,
cost you.
Oh, you know what, I buddy? I'll leave it with me. I'll fucking be in touch, let you know how much it is like. They didn't get in touch with me. I went to pick the car up.
They never do.
The next day, because they rang me at 5:05 and were like, can you get here for 5:30? And I was like, well, considering you're at least a 25-minute drive away, probably not really.
And I don't have a car.
Yes, exactly. I would have had to walk there.
That is so fucking an
oxymoron. All right, buddy, how you doing? It's Lee from the garage. Your car's all fixed. Can you come get it by 5:30? Because we're closing then, you fucking cunt. And if you are not here, you're not fucking taking your car away. The thing I thought about doing, so much, mm-hmm. right? I have a spare key to my car. I was like, can I just go to the garage, take my spare
break
key, just literally just get, well, it's not stealing, is it? This is my own car. Just drive the car off.
Technically, no.
But I am stealing their time. Yeah. But so anyway, didn't do that. Went and picked the car up the next day. I walked in there. All right, buddy. Yeah, you know, because you had that fucking recall, mate. You actually got a £100 voucher from us. So we've knocked that off the price of the work. You just owe us 45 quid. And I went, what? 45 quid? And I was like, what was the problem then with, like, my car literally not being able to drive it? Like, not start. Oh, it's a software issue, that, buddy. Software issue. So I've updated your software. No issue now. And then I sat there and I was like, I've had this software issue for about a year. And I've been putting it off. And to my detriment, actually reversed my car into a Range Rover in my street, causing nearly £1,000 worth of damage to the Range Rover, which I had to pay for. And I was like, if I'd just taken this fucking car into the garage, I would have that money now. And
yeah, but we all do this.
This is poor people mentality, though, because you put off doing things that cost you money because you know they're going to cost you money. So you just put up with the shit. And if I was rich and money was no object, I'd be like, I'll take the car into the garage tomorrow. And then I'd have my house servant.
You'll literally have like a whole set of like different like realities if you've got tons of money. Like your haircuts will cost you like a grand.
Oh yeah.
Like it's just a different
world. Haircuts would as
if
well.
If you ever like honestly, if I could figure this out, yeah, your haircut wow.
Cut my hair.
My God, you're bald. I never even knew. The thing is, like, the way to make money is just to convince a stupid person with a lot of money just to give you, like, money. Like, oh, yeah, like, this is a new fancy, like, haircut, or this is a special. Like, I hate, right, this is one of my pet peeves. I hate it, like, when people spend, like, especially men. Like, women, maybe, okay, I'm probably a bit sexist here. But, like, men spending, like, fucking 40 quid on a haircut, like, nah.
It doesn't. It depends what haircut you're getting as well. If you're getting something that involves, if you are getting like a specialist hair procedure,
all right, what's the limit?
Well, like
40 quid.
Well, it depends
so
what
much.
What kind of hair do you have? You've got an afro. Are you getting braids? Are you getting something that's going to take time? And
all
like,
right. All right, what's the cap? Though?
If you're having a short back and sides, mate, I reckon a tenner.
All right, let's go short back
hair,
and sides.
Short back and sides, mate.
Well, I would swallow a 20. Do you know what my pet peeve is actually about it, thinking about it? Is when these people go to the... I've had my friends do this. They go to these places where it's like, oh, they'll look after you. They'll give you a beer and a chat.
Yeah, barber's
like,
not a barber anymore,
stop,
is it? Yeah.
Stop.
Hey, man, come on in, have a beer. How's your mental health?
How's your mental... Like, nah, I'm here for an haircut, brother. Like, do you know what the place I go to, full of Turks, bless them, love them to bits, and their fingers stink of fags, this particular one, and I'm in... Because he's just...
Wow.
That's no thing on Turks. That's literally, he's just been for a ciggy.
Yeah,
do you know what? I fucking love it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they say they literally go, all right, boss, and they just start cutting me out.
Razor sharp.
And they're done in, like... 10 minutos.
Yeah, 10 minutes.
And I'm in, I'm out. He goes, hey, boss, see you there. And I, do you know what? He's normally 12 quid. I pull out 20 and give him the 20.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, like, I don't know. I think 20 is like more than.
You give him 8 quid more.
Because of the experience. That's where my.
You pay him for his dirty ciggy hands.
I would go to the other place, and if they charge me £12 and they gave me a beer and a massage and a cock rub and they told me about my feelings, I'd be like, no, I want that for a tenner.
I don't want to discuss my mental health with you.
I want to come to a bar that's going to get me in, get me out. He does my beard as well. Absolutely chops me up. His hands stink of cigs.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Does he oil your beard?
No, I don't. No. See, there we're starting going fancy
bullshit.
Again.
None of that bullshit. Get the fucking
Maybe
oil off my
I
beard.
Maybe I will have a little bit of. He goes, "Do you want some?" And it depends if I'm in the mood. You know, when he dabs you up with a.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like an aftershave that he's got from Poundland.
I'm not an aftershave guy either.
I used to go to a barber in Sheffield. Shout out these barbers. They're called Easy Barber. When I lived there as a student, it was 3 quid for a haircut, which was. Absolutely.
3 quid for an haircut. That's like talking about £2.50 for a pint, isn't it?
Honestly, like, there's no way they weren't making bank, surely. But again, I don't know.
But they don't pay taxes, do they? Because everything's cash in hand.
I don't know, mate. It was.
Why is it all cash in hand?
Oh, I don't know. But I did feel for them because I was like, 3 quid for a haircut.
The barber that I had
when we went, had one leg.
Nah, I'm looking away from you.
There's a video.
Can I just stop you there? There's so many images just smashing into my brain right now. A one-legged barber.
Yeah.
What if he slips? Has he got like a fake leg? I've got so many images shooting into my brain right now.
The barber had a fake leg, but
right.
I would say that it wasn't a very high tech fake leg, and
like a wooden leg, was he a pirate?
Genuinely, like a very very kind of clunky wooden leg, and
this is
fascinating. He had a very specific walk. Again, loved a ciggy, so would often be found outside the barbers having a ciggy,
and then would shuffle it in,
and you would kind of all. I used to go with my housemates, so shout out to Luke and shout out to Walshy, and we used to go in there and sort of not draw straws, but be like, either hoping to get the guy with the wooden leg who we didn't call Peg Leg, but bro.
Bless him.
But
absolutely bless the
There's also
lad.
A video that Matt took of me at the time on probably a potato of a phone, which might exist somewhere still, that he uploaded to Facebook of this guy with one leg cutting my hair, but uploaded it with the title at the time, Jim Loses an Ear in the Barbers.
And quite
a lot of people were concerned that the guy cutting my hair, because you could see him kind of just shuffling around me, not looking very stable, had slipped and cut my ear off.
This is my concern, as soon as you said like one. But hey, he probably wields the blade very well.
Yeah, do you know what? Every time he cut my hair, he did a really good job. But
did he?
I don't hold it again. You know, people with disabilities have to have jobs.
Oh, for God's sake, I hate the fact, right, that we have to
I have
preface.
To say that.
Like, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm a lovely person. Just get to know me. Like, get their jokes, people. Chill out.
But I mean, also, people with disabilities, absolutely you can be a barber. I'm not saying that you can't.
No, can't.
I'm just saying that it was quite funny that this guy that they had can't. One leg was just sort of hobbling around.
If you want to be serious, when you said barber with one leg,
yep.
The image is shooting into my brain. You can't, it's funny. It's like, you know, you ever heard of the comedian Bobby Lee?
Yeah.
He was on a podcast, and you ever seen the famous story he talks about, being molested by Down syndrome?
Yes, I have seen that story, because you've sent it to me multiple times.
This is
me and Uncle Tony, this.
The topic is, the subject is not funny. Being molested in any form is not funny. But the context that you put it in, and you just can't, it's the image shooting into your brain. You're like, fucking hell, you know you shouldn't laugh at it, but you can't. That's the comedy for me. It's like, it's the taboo of it. And it's like, explaining that to someone who's really sensitive about those things, you're like, that's how I deal with my trauma.
It's through
comedy. I laugh at everything. Mm-hmm. Don't take my laughter away, else I will literally die in a pit.
Don't take my laughter away, or else I will die in a pit.
My point is like, come on, guys. We've got to keep it light. We've got to keep it fluffy. Yeah. You can't be offended all the time.
No.
But you also can. But,
yeah, but
what's
hey,
that,
also...
What's
if
that
you
Australian
be,
comedian that if, says, if you want to be offended?
Like Jim Jefferies.
No, he's a different one. He's got long hair. He said, then be offended. That's fine.
Well, that's cool.
You don't have to watch. If you don't like it, don't watch.
Yeah.
Like, you have that choice.
Yeah, don't watch. Fuck you.
Look, I'm going to get my cock out now. And if you're offended, look away. That's your problem.
Oh, Daddy, oh, no.
Daddy, no.
Daddy,
see?
No.
Daddy.
Please, Daddy.
No. Right, so we've spoke about...
Oh, mate, do you know what? I've got another fucking poor thing. I bought these socks and I ripped the tag out of them. Do you know when you rip the tag out? Because for some reason...
Never ripped a tag out of a sock.
You know, they tag Carry socks, on. Three pairs of socks, they'll tag them together with a plastic jobby.
That's definitely...
To keep them together.
Okay,
but then I just went, I just wanted a pair of socks. So I went like that. Ripped it out, but then the little bit of plastic has gone inside the sock. It is in there somewhere.
That's
and it
annoying.
Is driving
no, that is
it is driving
annoying.
Me crazy. It is in the sock.
Driving me
and
crazy.
Every time I put my foot in the shoe, the plastic thing is digging into my foot. But I'm
you
so
are genuinely annoyed.
But I knew that about these socks, but then I wanted to wear them so bad. Instead of just buying another pair and being like, right, I fucked them up. Instead of buying another pair of socks, they weren't even that expensive. They were like a fiver. Instead of buying another pair of socks.
No, it's about the principle. I
could have had 1.5 haircuts for that amount of money.
Yes, you
in 2009.
Have.
But the principle, I'm going to wear these fucking socks and they're going to irritate me all day. And I am in a visibly worse mood for having worn these socks. I'm irritated.
If you want to see
I'm
how
irritated.
Visibly
I'm
irritated
vexed.
Jim is. Please look at the YouTube.
I'm vexed. I've now got to fucking sit here with a shoe half off. I am DJing tonight for 4 hours. I'm going to be annoyed the whole time. I'm going to be annoyed the whole fucking time. And
this
it's my
therapy,
fault.
Dude,
I've chosen.
It's okay.
I chose the worst path. I was offered two paths this morning. Do you want to be comfortable all day and do you want your feet not to stink?
Listen.
or do you want to wear these socks, like, look a little bit cool because they're kind of purple, and just be uncomfortable forever?
Okay. James.
I chose my own pain.
You know when Morpheus in The Matrix says, do you want to choose the blue pill or the red pill?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I often think to myself, both.
Because you love double dropping, mate.
Double pingers.
Morpheus.
Like, if he offered me those pills, I'm going... It was all like, do you take the blue pill? You go back to the fucking... What is it? Which one is the one?
Can I just...
The one where you go back to the reality?
You take the red pill. Yeah, yeah, the blue pill is the one where you go back to reality and you wake up. This is no more than a dream. You take the red pill and you stay in Wonderland and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Then, at that point, I'd be like, oh, and I'd just take a bit... And I'd watch him go, whoa, and I'd just go, oh. What would happen to you?
Can I just say that shot is cinematic fucking beauty as well, because you see his face and you see the pills in the reflection of his glasses. It is fucking lovely.
Honestly, there are kids these days that don't know what the Matrix is. And they've never seen it.
They fucking live in it.
They weren't born...
They weren't born when the Matrix... I watched New Year's Eve, 1999.
Let's go back.
Watched The Matrix. That was my entertainment was. I had to go around the next door neighbor's house, sit in his bedroom. This sounds like he's a paedophile. The next door neighbor's son. I had to sit in the next door neighbor's son's bedroom
with
all the other children that came to this party whilst the adults were downstairs snorting coke off each other's tits, drinking champagne, getting fucking absolutely hammered, eating crudités and fucking whatever else they were.
What the fuck are crudités?
Like little bits of food. I don't know. Little bits of toast with shit on them. Whilst the adults were downstairs, I was forced to sit and watch The Matrix. I was 10 years old. Do you think that was a good movie to make a 10-year-old watch? Yeah. It was fucking hideous. Like, first of all, I had no idea what was going on. Second of all, I had no idea what was going on. Basically, I didn't understand it. And then it got to the end, and I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. I liked the bit where he's like, we needed guns, lots of guns. Yeah, but I'd never seen a fucking surreal thriller before.
It's quite deep, isn't it?
Do you think that's the way I want to go into the millennium? With the millennium bug looming over my head, watching the fucking Matrix, thinking that I was going to be...
Do you remember the millennium bug?
I was fucking terrified, mate.
I was absolutely
terrified. I'm thinking, at midnight, we're all going to fucking die. The last thing I'm going to remember is this neo-futuristic fucking thing with a man in a metal pod telling me that life isn't real.
Man in a metal
fucking
pod.
Fucking wires are going to pop out my back like a fucking Tar Bath man. And I'm just going to be fucked.
Shout out to Tar Bath Man.
Shout out to Tar Bath Man, our sponsor for this evening, Tar Bath Man.
Tar Bath Man.
But yeah, anyway.
I remember The Matrix, and it was more like... I think my dad just showed me it, and it was a cool film. I didn't really have this like negative connotation. Yeah. Feels like
the first watch of The Matrix was a toughie, but I did grow to love it. And actually, I have a deep fondness for The Matrix because I remember
what the fuck when that was always the scene I remember is when he went into the hallway and the fucking the bullet time it slows down and the flips.
Lots of guns.
I was like, as a kid, I was like, Jesus, here we go.
I know
Kung Fu.
I know Kung Fu. Show me.
Show me.
Yeah. Do you know what? I'm going to need to watch
Stop trying to hit me and hit me.
Yes.
If there are, by any chance, some youngins listening to this and you haven't seen The Matrix, please go watch it.
The performances in it are just stunning all round.
I think it still holds up because I will say that. Like, things like Ace Ventura don't hold up today. I tried to watch those because I thought they were so funny, but now Ace Ventura doesn't hold up. I find it a little bit cringe. But The Matrix definitely does.
Yeah.
Just don't watch, like, the... The last Matrix was a fucking shit show.
Which was that? Revolutions?
I binned it. Like, I remember the scenes in it. I remember, like, the weird, like, creatures. And then, you know, they really tried to lean on how it was like Trinity's got all the power and stuff. Like it was, it felt all like shoehorned in, kind of.
They told me that man, the man that I loved, he would be the one and he would save things. So you see, you can't be dead, Neo, because I love you. I love you, Neo. I love you, Neo.
And then all of a sudden, his little fucking boner props him up, doesn't he? He's like, that is how desperate men are for a fuck. Like, he is inches from death, and he gets the sniff of pussy.
Just one sniff of that puss.
And he's like, right,
Was she hot? I think she was kind of hot.
Yeah, she had something going on, didn't she?
Not as hot as, like, you know, Aliens 1 woman.
Oh, yeah, Aliens 1 woman.
Was it Sigourney
Weaver?
With a shaved head and that. And she, right, yeah. Aliens 1. That did not feel shoehorned in any way.
It felt like Alien.
Just Alien. Alien.
Alien.
Alien 1 felt like so good because like she didn't feel shoehorned in any way. She was actually a protagonist you could get behind. And you felt it as well. You're like, oh, she's kick-ass.
And then it gets to like Alien versus Predator.
And you're like, what's going on?
Yeah, it just...
That's what happens, though. When money happens and then eventually...
Yeah, and this is the fucking...
beating the dead horse. And this is it.
Fucking problem. This is the whole point of this podcast.
Hey!
I'm fucking sick of it. Do you know what makes me feel... violently ill.
Let's go, we're on a roll.
Family Guy Simpsons crossover. Unnecessary. Why?
What happened here?
Why did they have to put fucking Family Guy in Springfield?
Because you see,
it's just so hideous.
I've never seen this.
It's so hideous. The best cartoon of all time ever.
Which one?
South Park.
What do you say, IDST? What's that mean?
If destroyed, still true.
Even more true.
IDEMT.
EMT. I wrote that. Like, if destroyed, even more true. Genuinely did that on my hand.
That's her name. You're going to have to bleep that out.
Yeah, I am. Genuinely had that on my hand.
And then scratched it in with a compass.
I did. And then on my forehead, I was like, yeah, you can't fucking destroy me. Best. Oh, for me, I'm biased, so.
Simpsons?
No.
Rick
and Morty for me.
I'll give you Rick and Morty.
But South Park is probably second. South Park is probably second, dude. Or then Simpsons third.
The integrity that
then
South
American
Park
Dad,
have.
Then Family Guy. Because of Roger. Yeah. Roger from American Dad is one of the funniest characters that I've ever... What about the time you killed our baby, Francine? You remember that scene? Fucking lost my mind. Like, just go... like, YouTube, Roger...
I just love it when
killed
he's
killed our baby Francine.
Because
they're role playing and they're trying to outdo each other. To be really edgy. And she's talking about, what about the and they're both very drunk.
What about the
economics for economics people? And then he's like, he has this pause and they're at a fucking party and he just goes, what about the time you killed our baby Francine? And I just fucking it was just so dark. I was my God.
It's like the scene in The Office where he's like,
Office is great.
But the British Office, which I'll refer to it as. The first season with the one with Ricky Gervais in, basically, where he's like,
office.
Oh yeah, you can't get them to go up there. You can't get them to go. There's been a rape up there.
Yeah, that's
and
sick.
He just
that's
go,
sick.
He goes and he just
set, dead silent.
Yeah, but
that is my that's the pinnacle of my comedy. Like,
I don't think it translates as well. I'll be honest. When they do it in the American one, when they did like for like for the first season, they just copied the script but made it more Americanized.
Oh yeah,
so much better once they fucked all that off and just they had the characters and some of the storylines are the same, but they just went and did their own thing. But oh my God, like South Park has got such integrity because they just do their own shit.
Well, they're grandfathered in now.
Their
grandfather did. Yeah. They can take the piss out of him. They are like exempt because they've been doing it since day dot.
Yeah.
So they can really, they're like grandfathered in to just take the piss out of
and
whatever they want.
They go full circle because the whole man, bear, pig thing where they were taking the piss out of climate change and now they're taking the piss out of themselves for taking the piss out of climate change. It's just so...
It's good. They're so self-aware.
What is this...
I don't know, mate. I just talk.
And also, they've not been corrupted by money, really.
Exactly.
I think.
I hope not.
I don't think they have.
I don't think they have because they don't conform. They never have.
Yeah, they just do whatever the fuck they want. I mean,
it circles back around to, like, if you don't like South Park, don't watch it. Simple as. Don't, like, get on your high horse.
But,
just
oh my
stop.
God, like, money just ruining fucking everything. We were talking about
I want to talk about something as well, but let me... Yeah.
Sorry, yeah, go on then.
No, I'll let you finish. I don't want to lose it. It's in there.
Bury it in the back. We were talking about festival lineups today because... loads of festivals are releasing their lineups.
So you're talking about something that's close to your heart here.
Music, but also I think that festivals in the UK have become incredibly profitable things now because everybody wants to go to a festival, but not everybody wants to go to a festival. Some people want to go get really fucking fucked up in a field and camp in a tent and get covered in shit and mud and
They
want to get all bonked up and gunky and fucking...
Yeah.
They want to go full hedonistic and like actually experience a festival. Some people want to go, I want to go to a festival, but I want to be clean. So I want to stay in a really nice tent.
I'll go glamping a little bit.
I want to have a shower and I want to have a glamp. And when I come home, I want somebody to cuddle me and tell me that it's going to be all right if there's a little bit of wind blowing. I'd actually like to be protected from the wind. And can you make sure that it doesn't rain on me whilst I'm here? And can you feed me really warm, nice food
instead
of food that's going to give me diarrhea?
Where are you going with this?
So all of these fucking wet cunts have come in that don't actually like festivals or camping. And this whole fucking glamping experience has been a thing. And it's for fucking people that just shouldn't go to festivals. So
why don't they have a festival that they just cater to that?
I wish that they did. And I think most festivals are now having to begrudgingly be like, okay, cool. Okay, Karen, come on in. Don't worry.
And they have
we've
to
got your little area.
Like,
oh, yeah, we've put you a carpet down that you can walk on so you don't have to walk on the mud because I know that you can't walk on mud.
Is this a thing? I don't know this
Yeah, so I think this is becoming a thing over time. But then also, because these people are now going to festivals more, festival lineups, especially in the last few years, have become really fucking homogenised shite.
Like what?
And
give me an example.
It's just the most boring fucking white fucking...
Give me an example of
white
one...
woman music. Oh, headlining, Stereophonics, Top Loader, Sophie Ellis Bextor, like just fuck off.
I like Stereophonics. Though.
Yeah, of course you do.
The Bartender and the Fever Lovers. That's a banger.
Foo
dude.
Fighters, put them on the bill again. Oh, we love the Foo Fighters. Guaranteed ticket sell at Surrey. I know you like Foo Fighters. That was just to rile you up. I'm irritated.
You are today,
I've got fucking my shoes going. But yeah, so we were just looking at these festival lineups, and I've been like,
what bands do you want to see?
Just somebody that's not
the Idols.
Yeah, Idols. Put Idols on a festival headliner, absolutely.
Until they get popular.
Put some new. No, not at all. Put some new things in. Stereophonics have been headlining festivals since 2002. Like,
oh, you want to see some new blood coming?
Yeah, put them on the bill, but like, don't put them as the headliner. But then
the headliner. Okay.
You probably can't put them on the bill, can you? It's, I don't know. It's just basically, I'm like, just make festivals a bit more interesting. But then so many companies have now bought festivals. I'm not going to name any festivals here because I like my job and I like being able to play at them. But sometimes you just look at things and you go, can you just like make it interesting? Can you just like, please take a risk. Take a risk, make it interesting. Maybe you fail. But so many of these festival things are now just designed to make money that it's taken the actual soul out of what makes
a festival
good. Oh, I've done it, mate, and lost thousands and thousands of pounds. So I would never,
Wait, what? Was this Boston Big
Gig? Yeah. I would never.
But that was like a cool festival.
If I had loads of money, I would definitely put on a festival. I'm going to shout out to.
That's a good point, right? If you had tons of money, you could like afford to make a loss.
Yeah.
Because you can't necessarily think it's going to be a slapper. You might get lucky and the festival might be a slapper and actually make money. Yeah. But like, if you had like, we're talking millions. And then you could put on what you wanted, you would happily take a loss.
Yeah.
It's like, right, for example, Joe Rogan started a new club in, mm-hmm. you know, he
comedy club.
Comedy club.
Yeah, cool.
Because he has bank. Yeah. And then he honestly came out and said, well, you know, I wanted to start one, and even if it makes a loss, I don't care.
Yeah, yeah.
It's for the fucking... It's for comedy.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm going to die because it's fucking up in LA. LA's just like comedy scene is dying slowly because of what's happening over there. It's becoming too left. So yeah, it's like, do you know what? Fuck it. We're going to go to Austin. We're going to do this.
Yeah, and they all left, even didn't said, they?
And they all started LA. Left and migrating. Yeah, yeah. And then it just... And then Joe puts on these new comics. He has comics like coming up, like you said, a bit like the festival things.
Yes.
New and upcoming talent. I totally agree with that. I totally agree with when you put it that way... But you hurt my feelings with Foo Fighters.
Sorry,
because,
yeah.
Like,
I mean, listen, Dave Grohl is a lovely, lovely man. Foo Fighters...
It's not his fault.
Foo Fighters are fine. They're fine. They're
what about Stereophonics?
They're fine. They're, this is the thing. They're all fine. But you know who puts on a really fucking good show? Give them a chance, right? When you watch Stormzy at Glastonbury, given a chance at a main stage headline slot, fucking smashes it.
Yeah.
Billie Eilish puts on like a fucking amazing show. Like these people... Give them, yeah, Doja Cat, 100%. Give these people that have never really headlined coming through, just put them on the main stage and say, they're the headliner this year. If you're old and you can't fucking handle it, then go to your spindly little fucking homogenized festival with the same lineup that you've been to since 1999. Go and see the Stereophonics headline again. Again, nothing against Stereophonics. You are absolutely fine. You are absolutely fine. Dakota, great song, love it. Thinking about you, how much time thinking about you. But give these young people and me, give anybody that likes music a bit of something else. Give us a risk, but also, I don't know, listen, I think when you have a thing like a festival or you open a bar or like you say, you open a comedy club, you need to have the money to take the risk because
yeah,
at
1,000,000%.
First, you need to, like Glastonbury, right?
If you're thinking about profit from the get-go,
yeah.
You failed. You've already tripped up.
Absolutely.
You've already tripped up.
Glastonbury never, ever, ever made profit for years and years and years. And even now, to this day, they pay very low for headliners. Like compared to other festivals, they pay very low. They say, this is the fee, you're the headliner. That cool? Yeah, great, cool, whatever. All the money that they make goes back into making the festival bigger and like, sure, they probably get a decent salary out of it. Sure, loads of people are probably like, actually, do you know Michael Eavis is an alien from the planet Milk Tits?
Almost every person I've ever seen that's put money back into their projects or made a loss or like done it for other reasons than just money. It's a much better product.
Yes.
They pump and dump
inside themselves.
I want to... Right, okay, cool. I want to talk about something that's passionate to me and also talking about the money thing. This is the same vein as this. Pokemon.
Yeah, cool. Let's go.
Franchise Pokemon for many years.
So, Pokemon...
Year on year.
Sorry.
Raking it in.
Franchise.
Pokemon. Big franchise. Year on year. Raking it in. Money. Money, money, money.
Right.
The games have just become... A copy paste every year,
right?
Every single year, copy paste. But the same gumps still buy it, and the love and the soul has gone. And and everybody's screaming, begging, pleading. Can we get an open world? Can we get an open world Pokemon game where you can actually just go catch Pokemon? Like it's open world, not turn based. And they're like, nah, even the main head guy said, nah, that would be too hard to do. We're not doing it. Hash out the same shit every single year. Still make money because it's Pokemon. And they tried an open world game. It was a dog shit mess. Horrible because it was like never got out of alpha stage, essentially. It was just shit across the board. Oh. Guess what happens? Pal World comes out.
What's Pal World?
Holy shit. It's been out for 4 days. It's... like overtaken everything, it's smashed records across the board.
Amazing.
It is a total ripoff of Pokemon. And they've cheekily done it. They've called it Pal World, where you catch pals in balls.
Yeah.
And they've tried to be, don't quote me on this, but apparently I got told this. Nintendo tried to sue them twice, but they can't. Because they call them PAL spheres. And actually, you can just, you know, it's not just a fucking Pokemon catching game. It's literally a game where you can breed, you can get them to work for you. You can do. And I remember looking at it, laughing my ass off like months ago, going, that's so dog shit. I remember thinking it's going to be dog shit. I remember thinking that's never going to take off. All the PALs, and I don't call them, Pokemon's dead. Pokemon is fucking done. And I played it. I played it to the detriment of not eating the other day. I was so addicted that I just, through the night, I got my work done, then through the night, I just kept playing till about 5 in the morning.
This is Pal World. You were playing Pal World.
My friends have just gone completely, fully wrong on it. We forgot to eat, we forgot to sleep, and it's left a sour taste in our mouths because we're like, they could have just done this. Walk around, catch Pokemon, you can throw them about. You're like, we was in the game together, we threw it, and you can control your character, and you're just like, this is insane. This is, why it didn't, and it was just two guys from Japan, by the way.
Question.
That just said, sod it.
Question. The two guys from Japan, clearly Pokemon fans.
Yeah.
Could they, just a scenario.
I don't want them to get sued. But.
No. Probably not ever going to happen.
Hopefully
you
not.
You know, they've now...
I guarantee you, someone at Pokemon, now they're making millions, is like, whoa.
Yeah, so this is where I was going to go with it. These two guys that have now created this world, which is basically Pokemon, what would happen if Pokemon sort of went, hey, we love what you did with Pal World. Can you do a Pokemon version of that? Would that...
This is where the temptation comes in.
Would that ruin...
This is what we spoke about before with the nicotine industry, Jim.
Would that ruin Pal World?
Probably.
Yeah, so basically, they've created this thing which is beautiful.
But if they have their integrity and they keep themselves, they go, actually, no, I think we'll keep continuing to evolve. Because they've got 111 pals.
Are they...
111, I know this, 111, because I looked at the...
111.
The pal, I can't remember what it's called. Pal deck or something.
Yeah, because you can't call it a pal deck.
They can't call them pal balls. They call them pal spheres. And you can butcher, by the way.
Spheres.
They can't, because they're cheeky.
This is so punk rock, man. It's fucking great.
And you know what happened? Like, you can hack the Pokemon to death if you wanted. You could get out a hatchet.
Which is...
And I've done it. You get out a hatchet, and that blurred screen comes up. It's so brutal. And do you know why they've done it? This is my theory. Do you know why they've done it that way?
Because they're so pissed off at people.
Because they're just like, when Pokemon go, you've copied our game. You go, well, no, yours game's is aimed for kids. Our game, we can fucking maim the Pokemon. Well, pals.
Yeah, yeah. But do you know, sometimes you just had enough
and
of
they just
fucking
went, fuck
Pikachu
you.
Shit. That's because, so punk rock, man.
Well, they did. And Pokemon I started off as a brilliant, you know, as you probably know, you grew up with red and blue.
Absolutely.
And then eventually, over the years, there was now 1,000 Pokemon. There is now 1,000.
Yeah.
One is shaped like a fucking ice cream. Like, please stop.
Screaming, man.
Yeah, please stop.
My nephew has just started getting into Pokemon.
Because they just beat it until it's like, give us more money, and they're just putting low effort because they just don't care. It's like FIFA. It's like NBA 2K. They're the same model now. Call of Duty is...
It's just the same
so
game. Yeah,
scummy with their fucking microtransactions. But you don't pay for a game anymore. You pay for 60 quid, then, do you want a skin with that? It's so low effort, it's unreal. Yeah, yeah. 20 quid for a Call of Duty skin. I spent 60 on the game! And you want me to, like...
Fuck off!
It's insanity.
When
I'm
used
done.
To,
it's
used
so
to
greedy.
Earn those things, didn't you, as well? Like, you do well in the game to earn rewards.
It's such scummy practice, because they're like... With these... I don't... Right, the only way it works...
Is this an MMORPG?
What? Pal's World?
No. Is that what it's called?
Pal World.
Massive multi online.
Oh, you mean like Pal? Are you asking?
I just remember years ago.
MMORPGs, massively multiplayer online role playing.
What's the main one? World of Warcraft.
Yeah,
that's an
MMORPG,
right? Yeah. Sorry, I just like that term.
And I think the game should do this, free to play, but microtransactions inside. I don't mind that.
Yeah.
That's purely cosmetic that don't affect you to have. Like,
what's an example of that then for people that don't really know gaming?
League of Legends, completely free to play.
What's the other one that kids love?
Fortnite. One.
That's
completely free to play,
but you have the microtransactions,
but only for cosmetic uses, not for like +1 to your attack, so you have an advantage over another person because you have more money. It literally just means the way you look.
Yeah, it's stinky, that, isn't it? Like, because you're not a good gamer if you can just afford everything.
And some games are aimed that way, like Diablo, I think, is a little bit like that. I don't quote me on that. But there are some practices where I don't mind the microtransactions, as long as your game is free to play and it's not like...
Cool.
It doesn't create this system where, if I have like 50 quid, I can get the upgrade and get a better gun than you, and you're like...
Business proposition for you. We go into the gaming market.
Done.
We create a game.
I already know how to kind of code.
That the poorer you are, You have to link your bank account.
Oh,
the poorer
shit,
you are,
dude.
The more shit you get. But the rich can take the things off you. But they have nothing. They start with nothing.
Wouldn't that make an incentive to not have money and then be miserable? Like, actually miserable?
Well, no. I want the rich to be like, no, I want to take from the poor. But they start with nothing in the game. But the poor people, they are stacked. They are fucking plus 50 like RPG.
Yeah. Plus 50 RPG. So shout out to Power World.
Yeah.
You've really ignited an addiction in me. It's a Pokemon game we've all wanted, and these two lovely Japanese men have decided, you know what? Fuck it.
That's punk as fuck, man.
You can also catch humans in balls. Oh, and guess what? Guess what?
That's so fucking dark.
It's crazy. Guess what? Guess what? Guess what?
What?
The pals. Yeah. You can also give them guns.
Oh yeah.
You so give you can, them you a can rifle. Tool them up. You can you can tool them up, and they just start gat 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 gat.
I love this.
It's insane. They just went wild with it. Went, do you know what? And guess what? The pals have guns. You're like, wait, what? And it makes no sense.
But it's everything that they've been like. Pokemon can't do this because it's literally for children.
The main guy, I can't remember, literally said, oh, an MMORPG, that's so hard to do, we would never be able to do that, sorry. And everyone went, okay. And then these two Japanese guys just went,
like, you are fucking stupid.
Went like this.
Here's your game, dude.
And here's, they can also have guns. You can also catch people. You can also maim them. They also work for you in a sweatshop at your base. They all have traits. No, I'm not joking. At your base, you can get the animals to just work. They have feelings. Some get depressed. You can, like, it's not... This
CEO is depressed now.
Exactly.
Maybe you want to take him outside and let him have a walk in the woods.
Do you know what you have to build to make them happier? A jacuzzi. And they sit in the jacuzzi and they get happy. And then they go and mine for 20 hours. And you're like, yeah, let's get to work. It teaches you about communism.
What are they mining?
You can mine like rock or like to build things, because it's also guess what? It's also a crafting game.
Oh yeah,
it's
yeah.
like my it's like, Minecraft, it's Minecraft, it's Pokemon, it's Rust, it's fucking
what's Rust?
Rust is incredible. Rust is amazing.
Okay, come on.
For people who know games,
as a non-gamer here, I'm really really in the minority generally in the world. Like
I felt like this when you were talking about
festivals.
Okay, like,
that's interesting.
When you said like. Oh, Stereophonics. I'm like, I quite like Stereophonics, actually.
It's not an attack.
You probably went, oh, Pokemon that was actually quite good. But the fact of the matter is, Pokemon just lost its way. Same with feet. It all got greedy, and this comes back around to depressed CEOs. The depressed CEOs, it became more about money than it did the product.
The problem is, as well, when you're creating something from the very base, right?
You have
people that are... have you watched the series? This is very much in line with what I'm going to say, and I'm going to finish my point. Have you watched the series on Apple where Rob McElhenney is...
No, I haven't, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he's like a game designer. But at the very, very core of something creative is an idea. And an idea
is bulletproof.
But an idea of something starts, and then the people that have the idea are really, really, really passionate about it. And so they... fight to get it made, and then once the thing's made, often it needs things like investment and stuff like that to further its progression, and then as soon as the money comes in from somebody else,
I'm getting mad.
It needs to be safer here. It doesn't need that. Oh, do you need that?
Plus, I've given you this money, so can we put in something that I like? And you're like, but you're not creative in any way whatsoever.
Put this fuck lamp in, please. Can you put this lamp
just
in that
quickly,
you can
just
fuck?
Put this quick fuck lamp in.
Yeah, I hate.
And that's what that. And so, in some cases, it works. Some cases, you have like investors that will not. They will be like, "Do what you want. I'm just giving you the money." Because there's some people do trust your creativity and trust, like, and some creative people actually make a ton of money, so they understand. There are some cases that it does work. We're not bashing on like all of it, but in a lot of cases, you just see what happens when, like, Marvel fucking. Phase one was like so good because it was planned, it was new, it was fresh, they had a start to finish, and then that made a ton of money.
They had enthusiasm. Yeah, that's it.
And then they just was like, how can we continue to make this? Because now we've got profits. Now we have deadlines to hit. Now we have margins. Now we have people to pay. And then it becomes about that more than the project.
I think
and then before you know
it,
you've got a twerking Hulk. And you're like, what are we doing?
Off.
What happened?
It's so...
Because some CEO was like, do you know what? We need equality in there. We need to shoehorn it in. And do you know what equality is? It's the She-Hulk twerking, which is, like you said earlier, a counterpoint because that actually is quite offensive to women, I find.
Yeah, because you've got a female superhero, so she has
to
twerk.
I'm not against women, so stop saying this. They're like fucking say, oh, but you fucking, if you don't like the She-Hulk, you got a problem with women. No, if fucking Bruce Banner, the Hulk, started dabbing, I'd be like, what's going on?
Yeah.
That's just weird. It doesn't fit the narrative.
If you're
going to
make if you're going to make the She-Hulk, then find somebody passionate about it that will make it really good.
And
then everybody will be like, what a fucking great movie.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter. But if you're going to make
it... I don't
it
like being shoehorned
in.
I don't like something feeling as if like you're putting it in for some other reason.
Yeah.
Like,
and you can tell. You can smell that shit.
You can smell
that fucking shit.
Oh, you're just being sexist or you're just being... No, dude, I'm not.
I've got two quick shout-outs to make along the lines of this, which are really important.
It's a bit of a passionate podcast. I like it.
Mate.
Woo!
Do you know the British comedian Carolina Hearn?
Yes, vaguely.
Royal Family? Did you ever watch Royal Family?
Yes. Kind of have a vague, blurry image of her in my head.
Yeah, so Denise from the Royal Family, that's Carolina Hearn. If you don't know who she is, in my opinion, one of the greatest British comedians. Just somebody who's just naturally funny, but just by being herself. And she did like this chat show in the 90s, which is like a comedy chat show. Mrs. Merton. She created this character that was a granny, pretended to be a granny, and did a chat show. And she hosted like a bunch of stuff, and it was really, really popular. And it got to the point where they were basically like, "Oh, you could just keep doing this forever." And she was working with a writing partner, Craig Cash, and she was like, "We don't want to do, we could do the safe thing forever, but I want to do something completely different." And they were inspired by this these series of films, which were just basically shot in. A hairdresser's at the seaside, and I think it's called like A Hairdresser by the Sea or something. And it was just women getting their hair done, having normal conversations, but the normal conversations were just so fun because it was just like, oh, I've just seen Reenie. She's lost her teeth. And it would be, it's like such nonsense, but it was just so like everyday, mundane that it was funny. And that inspired her and Craig Cash to write the series The Royal Family, which became like basically they said, we're not going to do Mrs. Merton anymore, we're going to do this new show, that's what we want to do. And they were like, you're risking everything, you could do this banker, this absolute banker, we just keep doing this, keep doing this. She's like, no, I want to do this other thing.
It became
the best thing that she'd ever done, way more popular than Mrs. Merton. It got all these incredible viewing figures.
It's
and
kind
stuff
of like Ricky Gervais kind of points that out as well, doesn't he? Pokes fun at that.
Yeah.
Kind of like what is it when everybody fucking, when they just laugh at that one liner and you just hash the same shit out. I mean, he even pokes fun at that, doesn't he? And he made it when he was like, later on, because he wanted to. He did something so original. And I think,
are you having a laugh? Is he
that's
having
the
a laugh?
One. That's exactly what I'm on about.
Yeah.
Is he having a
extras
laugh? And then, and it's just so like, that is so poignant. Like, you will just sell out. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with selling out necessarily in terms of like,
that whole series is about him
bettering your life, but like I think integrity is more.
I agree.
Much of a more attractive.
Yeah, I
kind
agree.
Of asset. I don't blame anybody for taking the money, like especially in this world where it's so tough.
Yeah,
but I think over that, especially as I get older, I used to be very when I was younger, but like, yeah, take the money, sell out, whatever. But as I get older, I'm more like, integrity is much more of an attractive quality to have.
I think
say, fuck you, I'm going to do what I'm going to do regardless of the money. And that kind of fucks you a lot.
I think my line on that is probably depending on what the project is. So, for example, with this podcast, we have 100% autonomy over this because we decide what it looks like, what we wear, what we talk about, how it sounds. I mean, obviously not. We're limited to some extent by like, money and time and all that sort of stuff. But also
the normal
like,
constraints.
Yeah, but also we're not sponsored by anybody. We don't have anybody to answer to. So if we say something that's like fucked up, nobody goes, oh, maybe we should take that bit out. We just go, no, we're going to leave it in. We're going to talk about the barber with one fucking leg because we can talk about it. We're allowed to. This is our podcast. We can say whatever the fuck we want and we will. So join us. Where was I going with that?
No, I like when you don't.
For example, if I'm DJing somebody else's wedding, at that point, the autonomy is on, it is their wedding.
Yeah, okay.
So within that, I'm like, if you want me to play this kind of music, I want to make this good for you. This is your project.
Yeah.
This isn't about me. Yeah. This is me working with you to help you on your project. And then I think I can take myself out of that. So I think not everything has to be like that. But
I'm
also,
like that with video editing. When I first started...
Your compromise.
When I first started, I used to get so offended, like, if somebody wanted to change something. But at the end of the day, like... And there have been some projects where I've been like, oh my God, you are involved in a horrible little process. Like I'll be selling, I had this one client that he was selling a product, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was basically a middleman and I didn't realize this.
Yeah.
And what he would do is, and even in the video who's getting me to edit, he was saying how like, he was selling this course where he was teaching people to do what he did, which was basically be a middleman and hire out contractors to do your work, but you take most of the money.
Oh.
So he used a line in this video that I will never forget. It was like, hire people more talented than you and then charge like the client more. It was like worded in such a way. And I was editing this. Which he paid me for.
Yeah.
And he didn't, he had no kind of like, and that's fine. Like,
that's a morality point for you. It's a morality. Like, where are my morals on this? But then also, like.
And I felt a bit weird about it. I was like, oh, then I could have just charged more for this, really. And you're just kind of exploiting me a tiny bit.
Yeah.
And I don't like that feeling.
And he's also saying it in the video.
In the video that I'm editing for
him. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he's literally telling you to your face.
He's telling me.
Hey, I pay people fuck all, and I make
just
loads
to be a middle
from
man,
it.
But I make loads from it.
Cunt, absolute cunt, absolute cunt. I also would like to throw this out there. Somebody put up on their story the other day. It's a DJ friend of mine. Shout out to Joey. He put up like this fucking number plate of a BMW, and it said like something like CEO for life. And I was like, it was parked outside the venue that he was DJing in. And he was like, I bet this guy is fucking hilarious at parties. And I was like, oh, it makes me so sick to think of people that, but like, you know, also I shouldn't get annoyed at these people, should I? Because that's just their path. That's just their like purpose or whatever.
Well,
that's their
you're explaining
comfort
the,
points.
Right. Like I just explained the morality of things, like, you know, as long as you're self-aware and you understand that, okay, live and let live is fine, but you're also allowed an opinion. You're
don't
allowed to
drive around
fun.
In a car that says CEO for life on it, you cunt. Sorry, but you're such a fucking Burke. Like,
you're allowed
to
have that.
Look
and
at yourself.
That man, if that man's event, he'll probably look at you and go, oh, well, I wouldn't fucking look at you, you tosser.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing is, you could both sit there and say that, but then walk separate ways and go away. That's fine. You're allowed an opinion. And I'm realizing that more and more as I grow up.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'm not going to go up to that man's face and tell him he's an arsehole and look at your car.
I'm just going
to
tell you on a podcast, mate. If you're watching this, your car is a fucking nice car. Your life's a joke. Fucking
nice car.
Sit on that, you fucking...
Because there's things about me that I bet annoy the fuck out of people.
Oh, there'll be people that watch this that call us all sorts of names on TikTok. Don't worry about
it.
And
they're happy to click off, and they're happy to even upload this and take the piss.
Yeah.
It's fine. Yeah. Go and do it. It's all good. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
live and let live.
Mate, absolutely. I hope we...
Live and let live.
I hope we get clipped, mate, by one of those pages that clips things that aren't theirs and then just posts it out like, haha, look at this. It's funny, isn't it? And then we get fucking bullied.
I thought you were going to say, like, then it gets millions of views that we're not...
Oh,
then
it gets millions of views that, we don't get monetized
me
for.
And, me and my friend Tom, you know Tom, we made... a video of like an owl. Do you remember this? Do you ever remember this?
I do remember the video, yeah. Put it in. This video.
And it was like an owl having PTSD. And we made the video. Just, it was like a, honestly, like an hour long project. We just did it. We thought it was sunny. Put it out there. And it just, we have this like YouTube channel called Elmer Fudd that we don't have access to anymore. It got like,
yeah,
quite a few thousand, hundreds of thousands of views.
Yeah, yeah.
This Facebook one blew up to like 3 million. It was our video.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I was like, what?
We've had that with our 50 Sniffs videos as well, though.
Yeah, right? That other people.
Every, like, it was a period of time where there was like, rate my council estate plate. And it was just like fucking memes sharing like shit dinners that you would have had if you grew up poor.
Isn't that wild, dude?
Yeah.
That's wild.
And
isn't it,
and we've had our video stolen and just played on this fucking page, and it's got like millions and millions of views and tractions and likes and shares and all this sort of stuff, and they don't even fucking credit you and say
credit
that it's
you.
Yours.
To be fair, that irks me. I could not in good faith like not tag somebody if I uploaded a video. I'd be like, yo, shout out to so and so. That is just, it's weird.
Interesting though, because I listen to an audiobook. I listen to audiobooks now, so I don't have time to read because I have a child. Hate it. Love it. Love the child.
Love
hate,
him. Wouldn't change
hate,
the world.
Hate not having time to read.
Not having time
so,
to read.
So I listen to Fat Tony, DJ Fat Tony's audiobook, which is fantastic. If anybody hasn't listened to it or read the book, if you've got the luxury of time, read the book or listen to the audiobook.
I can't
it's
read,
great.
So I listen to
audiobook. You can't read. Just listen to the audiobook. It's fucking fantastic. And but in that, he talks about stealing memes and sharing them on his page and not crediting people and not giving a fuck about it. And I was like, in a way, I'm kind of like, it is a bit punk rock though, so I do like that about it as well. So, also, so fuck you
person.
For stealing my video, but also, you know, fair play. I do appreciate the hustle, so that's cool.
I think everything in context, right? It's like, oh, you, Pokemon, you just stole our MO. And it's like...
Yeah.
IP, sorry, MO, what am I talking about? You stole it... IP,
yeah,
like give us money, and you're like,
no,
we didn't though, and you're like, but clearly you did,
yeah, but
we didn't though, but it was more for the because they couldn't be get, they literally lost their way,
yeah,
and you're like, please, and like, nah, we're just gonna keep raking in money and hashing out the same.
So
shit.
Somebody else has done.
So somebody finally
else has been creative.
Came along, and I think in that aspect, it's fine to like kind of that's punk rock to me,
yeah. I agree. It's,
you're like
it's
bending
good.
The law, rules and laws, but to just steal something like plagiarism,
yeah,
is the way I draw the line.
If they'd taken our video and they made it but slightly different and then shared it, I'd be like, cool, you've stolen the idea.
I would go as far as like share and be like, this is funny from the guys from.
Yeah, or share
that's
from our
fine.
Page. Yeah, yeah, that's it.
Share from our page, share from like a link. That is also like to me fine, but to just... kind of rip it like and just kind of not even give any credit.
Yeah, it's,
just, it's
fucking
at the
shit.
Very least, that's, it's just shady. Like I'm like, oh come on, dude.
Yeah, that's it's
that's just
it's,
not nice.
It feels like disingenuous to
disingenuous,
the actual content that the page is promoting, because it's supposed to be like, if you grew up on a council estate, you'd like this page. So if you grew up on a council estate, you'd appreciate that people that have done something that's been successful. I mean, maybe you would just steal it. I don't know. But like, you probably,
lots of
you wouldn't be,
would.
Yeah, you wouldn't be a cunt about it. I don't know. I think, I feel like you'd be like, oh, this is this person. This is well funny. But anyway, final thing that I was going to say.
We've had to have been an hour, right?
Yeah, just about. Lou Reed. We were talking about people that like just follow their own integrity, but also like you have to tread the line of the money. Lou Reed, problematic to some
Dancing
people.
That line is a great.
Yeah, he got the money. His story is so fucking
I
amazing.
I think of comedians like, who's that black comedian who towed the line? Mate, my brain is so fucking shit with these things. Very famous comedian.
Chris Rock, Kevin Hart.
Not definitely not Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart's an industry plant for sure. I don't want to go into it that much into too detail, but I'll go off on one.
British
American Dave Chappelle was one of the, I feel like, is one of those guys that I think I have a grasp on that has massive integrity. He made his money, he didn't ever sell himself out to the point, and he noticed some things in Hollywood that he would point out and go, this is kind of fucked.
Yeah.
And it's the same with another one. I can't remember his fucking name, but he never gets on like main headline acts, but he made quite a fair bit of money.
Yeah.
He's good friends with Dave Chappelle. And he recently did a podcast where he let it all out.
Yeah.
He never does podcasts, and I can't remember what it was. Anyway, continue with yours.
Lou Reed. Fantastic musician. Started with the Velvet Underground, moved into doing solo stuff. Massive drug user.
Williams, I just remembered his name.
Okay.
You know Cat
Williams?
Yeah,
I do, yeah. Yeah.
He's another one. Like, great, I think, you know, he does go a bit wild on some stories, but...
Yeah.
I think he's another one that didn't fall in for traps.
Yeah.
Carry on, Lou Reed.
So Lou Reed, much respect for him. I think some people might say he's problematic. I don't know actually the ins and outs of what he's done, but I think anybody that's a drug user for as long as he was a drug user and a heavy drug user is probably going to have some arsehole stories about them. But
that's the thing, no one's perfect, man. No. Like, for fuck's sake, stop holding these people to these high standards as well. That's what pisses me off.
But what he did that I love, which is great, was he would absolutely bomb. He would absolutely tank and he would be fucked, absolutely fucked and out of favour. And then all of a sudden, he would put out an album where he would write like absolute bangers. And then the record companies would be like, he's back. Lou Reed is back, baby. He is back. He's writing bangers. Get him signed. 5-album deal. And he'd be like, yeah, cool. Yeah. You want another one of these albums? Tough shit, because what I'm going to make is electronic train sound and I'm going to go to Germany to make it, and it's going to cost a few million, but you know, listen, trust me, it's a banker. And then he would literally he would have a 5-album deal, and he would flop out these like 4 albums of shit, and then they'd be like, right, cool, we're at the end of our 5-album deal, we can't do another, you can't,
we're just letting you go,
you can't bang a kitchen sink and scream on this last album, you can't do it.
This sounds so good.
You know the song, Hey Babe, Take a Walk on the Wild Side.
Yeah.
So, hey, honey. That's Lou Reed.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. He's in a.
Is what he purposely did.
He would
take money from the record label.
He took record companies for a fucking ride.
That is brilliant.
It's unbelievably punk rock. He's so, like, as a character, so cool and fascinating.
See, that's the right amount of pettiness for me.
Yeah.
I believe in pettiness in some aspects.
And this is
like when you know that other person's fucking you,
yeah,
you fuck them back the same way they fuck you.
And when record companies have money as well.
When people say, oh, don't stoop to their level, stoop to their level. Like, get
he
on their level it. And play it.
He
I'm all about
it
that.
So well.
Do you know what? Yeah. Fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what? Fuck you. And that was when record companies had money as well.
Pants, yeah.
That was when they had like,
hey, that's, you want some of like, this fire?
A five album deal back then. When they first got that album, like what's it called? Transistor?
I don't talk to me.
Sorry, man. It's the album that he made with David Bowie.
I'm in Power World,
and
mate.
It's fantastic. It really is good.
David Bowie. But then, wasn't David Bowie a kind of a floater on the old line?
Oh yeah, yeah. I think he danced on the line of appropriate and.
Me and to round this off as well. Sorry, I know we're about to.
No, it's
me,
fine,
and,
yeah.
me and my friend Adam, we watched the Golden Globes, and every year we watch the Golden Globes. There was always a theme to like, oh, you know, who's got the best dress this year?
Yeah.
And this year it was like, who definitely knows or has been to Epstein's Island.
As in, like, this is your theme that you came
and
up
we
with.
And we scrolled this wasn't down the red
this
carpet.
Wasn't the this wasn't the Golden Globes' actual theme, was it? This was a game that you guys were playing. Yeah.
And you know when they do the carpet walk and they have all the pictures on websites?
Yeah.
We'd scroll down every single celebrity going, definitely knows.
Definitely knows,
And Adam, so that's Adam...
Chain,
yeah. Came up with one where he's like, I'm so disappointed that he probably knows...
Yeah, who was that?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, you're right. Like, he's such a great actor, but he definitely would be one of those people who kind of knows it happens. I don't think... maybe he'd get involved as well. Yeah, I don't like to think that because I love Leo.
Yeah.
But, like, just think about it.
Did he buys or fucking dies?
What a great actor, man.
Yeah.
Anyway,
he's got his flowers now anyway, so if he's a pedo, you know, he got his fucking award, didn't he?
It's like fucking... Who did we say wasn't as well? We don't think Jamie Foxx.
No, Jamie Foxx is one of the good guys, man.
Yeah, you look at him, you go, no.
Jamie Foxx has got his integrity, mate.
Integrity.
Yeah, Jamie Foxx has got his integrity.
We saw Billie Eilish really on there, and I thought like Billie Eilish probably not. She probably knows and went, ugh, no, fuck off.
Was Billie Eilish even around?
She was honestly. She went to the Golden Globes. She was there. So.
No, as in like Epstein's Island.
Oh, but right,
she's fucking.
I've used the word Epstein's Island, but we more meant like deep seedy world of Hollywood.
Well, like does Billie Eilish know about the deep seedy world of Hollywood? But she's like, she's only been around for 4 years.
But they get, once you make a certain amount of money, they come in. And I genuinely believe that there's a cap.
Right,
I
think right. On the Patreon, we're going to start. We're going to start the Patreon with how you think Hollywood works. The first question I ask you is tell me, Jimmy, how Hollywood works, and join us over there for that.
Listen,
thank you very much.
And I'm going to tell you how it works. Look at me. Look at how fat I am, dude. Look how fat I've got over Christmas. Come over to the Patreon. I'm going to tell you exactly how Hollywood works and how to beat it. Just sign up for whatever pound a month is going to be. And then I'll tell you the secrets. If you ever earn a certain... I'll even tell you the cap. I know the cap. I know the inside trading secrets here. And I'll tell you how to avoid the pitfalls and avoid the fucking naughty men.
Stop it.
Goodbye. Fuck it. We're out. Sign up for the Patreon. Hey, sign up.